It's been a good morning, hasn't it? I don't know about you, but it hasn't been all that great from a standpoint of happiness with myself as I listen to the lessons that have been presented this morning and hear the exhortation and the call to sacrifice that we had today in our remarks from the Lord's table and at the offering. It really humbles you to think about the fact that we don't sacrifice ourselves nearly like we should. I think that's probably true. If we're humble and honest with ourselves, then we would admit that. And so what we do from that is we take that conviction of the soul and we try to act upon that. And we try to make some changes in our lives and some decisions and choices that we need to make. And that way we are serving the Lord more favorably and are more pleasing to Him. And that's what our goal and our desire is. LJ really preached a lot of my lesson this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 24 is where I want to begin this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 24. This is a fascinating story that we won't take the time to develop fully in terms of all the lessons that we could learn from this. But what I want to focus in on is David's sacrifice here at the end of chapter 24. And you'll notice that in the context, tremendous death has been going on in this chapter. 70,000 people of the nation of Israel have died as the result of a plague that the Lord has sent upon Israel, primarily for David's sin in numbering the people of God. And you have to understand the background of that a little bit to understand why God would be so displeased with David. David wasn't trusting in God at all when he numbered the people. He numbered the people in order to know whether or not he would be able to be successful in battle. And God wanted him to trust him. And so God is very displeased with David as a result of that. And moreover, if you look back even a little further in the context, God is very displeased with Israel in general. They have followed after Absalom in one rebellion and after Sheba in another rebellion against David and against God's king. They've really not been submissive to God at all. And so he's very displeased with Israel. He's very displeased with David. And he gives David an option as to what kind of punishment he would want to experience. He gives him three choices. And two of those choices basically put him in the hands of men. And one of them puts him in the hand of God. And he chooses to be in the hands of God rather than in the hands of men. He says, "Let the Lord do with me what he will." And so he chooses the plague. And the plague comes upon all of Israel. 70,000 people from Dan to Beersheba are dying. And David sees this and he calls upon the Lord. He wants to repent. He wants the Lord to stop the plague. The Lord sees the plague coming upon Jerusalem, his holy city, and he stops the plague there. He won't let it enter into Jerusalem. So Gad, the prophet, comes to David and tells David to make an offering to the Lord. And he tells him to go to the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite and make an offering on an altar there. And so David then has to buy the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. And Arunah wants to give it to him. Just take it. Arunah, no doubt, wants to put this plague to rest as well. David says in verse 24, "However, the king said to Arunah, 'No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, for I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, which cost me nothing.'" And so David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Simple point that I want to derive from that story. Look at the horribleness of the situation. You learn so many lessons about God's wrath upon sin. 70,000 people have died as a result of their own sin and as a result of David's sin. And the plague could go on and on. But God stops it. And God receives an offering from David. And that's an appeasement for his wrath. You learn so much just from looking at that story from that perspective as to what we really deserve in terms of our relationship with God, don't you? We really do deserve death. We really do deserve to be punished. We deserve to have the wrath of God upon us because we have chosen in our lives to sin against Him. And how different are we really from Israel? And how different are we really from David? David was a good man. He was a righteous man. He was a man who wrote the Psalms. He was a man after God's own heart. But he sinned, didn't he? And look at the consequences that sin brings. Look at the death that sin brought in this particular occasion. And so we learn how gracious God is to us. He stopped the plague. He didn't have to. He could have continued to destroy the entire nation if he wanted to. But he stopped the plague. He received an offering from David. And David said, "I will not offer to the Lord that which costs me nothing." I think that's a great place for us to start our lesson this morning as we look at the subject of sacrifice or self-sacrifice. What does our self-sacrifice really cost us? And you see why LJ preached my lesson this morning. He was really getting right in on that. No, I'm glad you did. There's nothing like repetition for teaching and instructing in the Lord's will. We need to hear it over and over and over again. What does our self-sacrifice cost us? I want to ask a few questions in regard to that. Questions about sacrifice and about service. Why does God require the first and the best from us, and it to be given honestly and generously? Why does He require that from us? Look in Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1, where God is reproving Judah for a number of things. In verse 6 of Malachi 1, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? And God answers, you are presenting defiled food upon my altar. But you say, how have we defiled you? And God answers, in that you say the table of the Lord is to be despised. But when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you present the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you? Or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? But now will you not entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us with such an offering on your part? Will he receive any of you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the gates, that you might not uselessly kindle fire on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you." So my question is, why does God require the first and the best? Why is He so upset with Israel for not providing to Him the first and the best of their offerings? And I think there's a number of answers to that. Before I give you what I think are a couple of answers, at least, look over in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10. Proverbs 3 and verse 9 and 10. "Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." So there's another clue as to the answer to our question. Why does God require the first and the best honestly and generously? Number one, you'd have to agree that this is the main reason. He's worthy of that. He has the right to claim that from us. We talk about that in our lesson in on authority in the morning Bible class. He's the King. He has all authority. He's the Creator. He is God. He is worthy. That's the simple answer. So why does He require it? Because He's worthy and because we owe it to Him. That's what we should be giving. Jesus told the parable of the unworthy servant, and He said, even when you've done all the things that you ought to have done, you know, you're still an unworthy servant. We owe it to God. The best, the first. It's what we owe. But I think there's another reason. I think this is the deeper reason. This is the reason we started talking about last week about givers and takers. God is a gracious and loving God, and He wants the best for us. And it's not just because He's worthy, that he requires us to give him the first and the best. I don't believe. I don't believe it's solely because he's worthy. I think God knows that that's what we need. I think God knows that that's the only way that we're ever really going to be truly blessed in this life as well as in the life to come. He knows that. The only way that we're going to die to self is to be called by God to give the first and the best. He's worthy. He deserves it. But it's also really, really, really good for us to be taught that and to be commanded that and to be, if you will, forced by God, by His authority, to do that. Because we need to die to self. That's our number one need. We talked about that in the Bible class. We really want what we want, and we want to serve the flesh, and we want to have what we want to have. And when we operate like that and live like that in this life, what happens? What happens? Oh, yeah, let's start talking about that. Look at all the consequences that happen to us when we serve the flesh. Look at all the bad things that come from us being selfish. Not only that, look at the end result. We don't get to heaven. You know, you may not think about that much right now, especially if you're a young person, but you need to. Because everybody's going to die. And the Lord is going to come someday. Whichever one happens first, you're going to meet God in judgment. And so you need to hear that. And God is trying to warn you and instruct you, if you don't die to self, you're not going to live. Jesus said, if you want to save your life, you will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's sake will find it. That's such a true statement, isn't it? That's what life's all about. We talked about that last week, about giving and taking. Life is all about giving. It's all about dying to self and giving to God and giving to others. And when you do that, what happens? You're happy. You're blessed. I can think back in my life and I can see in my soul, I can see in my heart, the times when I was the least happiest were the times when I was the most selfish, when I was the most focused on myself. And the times when I'm the happiest and the most fulfilled and the most satisfied are the times when I'm sharing myself and giving of myself and pleasing God and pleasing others. It's just the way it is. It's the way we're built. It's the way we're made. And we're such fools sometimes to forget that. And God constantly warns us about that. Why does He require the first and the best? Because He's worthy. And because He knows that's what's going to make us happy. And that's what's going to get us to heaven. I have another question for you. Why does God withhold blessings then from those who put their interests before His? I'll tell you, I meet with people all the time, talk with people all the time who are going through difficulties, going through struggles. And it's just what it's part of my work. That's what I do. And I try to talk with people and try to help people and try to get people to think about things and try to encourage. If nothing else, at least I can encourage. At least I can pat on the back and say, I'll pray for you. At least I can do that. But oftentimes they're going through struggles in their life because of choices that they've made. Choices they've made to serve themselves rather than to serve God and to serve others. Oftentimes, a lot of the problems that we have is the result of selfishness. It's the result of self-seeking. And more than that, it's the result of not really learning the value and the blessing of giving and sharing and sacrificing ourselves for others. We're just very self-consumed. And oftentimes that presents a lot of problems. Look in Haggai, another book towards the end of your Old Testament there, right before Zechariah and Malachi. The book of Haggai. This is a time in Israel's history or Judah's history when they've come back from Babylonian captivity and they're rebuilding the temple and they've stopped building the temple. And now they're focused on themselves and God reproves them and rebukes them. Chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, 'Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways.'" It's like the Lord saying, just look at your life. Look at your circumstances. Look at your situation. You want to know why you're in the situation you're in? You want to know why you're struggling so much? You want to know why bad things are happening? Consider your ways. He says, verse 6, "You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there's not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. Stop serving yourself and serve me, the Lord says. You want to know why you got problems? Why you have difficult circumstances and situations? And even if you're not going through them right now, you will. Everybody does. And I'm not saying that all difficult circumstances are the result of our selfishness. They're certainly not. Life just has its way of causing difficulties for us, regardless, sometimes. But we ought to consider our ways when we do go through difficulties. Is our focus really on God? Is it really on serving others? And if it's not, then the Lord is begging us here, entreating us here, consider your ways. What has He done? He has withheld the blessings. That's what He's done. He has withheld the blessings from us when our focus is on ourselves and not on Him and not on others. That's what He says. So you can keep reading. He says in verse 9, "You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because of my house, which lies desolate, which each of you runs to, while each of you runs to his own house. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. I called for a drought in the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, on what the ground produces, on men, on cattle, and on all the labor of your hands." That's what I did. I did that. Oh, that's because the Lord is mean, right? No. Why does God withhold blessings from those who put their interests before His? Well, certainly, because He is just. They were sinning against Him. They weren't doing His will. They were selfishly indulging their own desires and own pleasures. So He is just, and He has the right to punish. He has the right to withhold in punishment of us when we don't serve Him or others like we should. But again, as is the case with the other question I asked, I think there's another reason. He disciplines us for our good. When the blessings are withheld from us, oftentimes it's God speaking to us and saying, consider your ways. When we're going through difficulties and problems, who knows whether they're directly from the Lord, whether the Lord's brought them upon those things upon us or not directly, or whether He's simply using them as an opportunity. But one way or the other, He wants our good. He wants something good to result from whatever difficulties we may be facing. And one of the best things that God wants for us that will result in good is for us to consider our ways and consider whether or not we're really serving ourselves mostly, or whether we're serving God and serving others. Now, we can make 110 different applications of this particular point, can't we? So I don't know, let me pick one. Let me just pick attendance. Why do I always pick attendance? It's the only thing I care about, right? That's all. Just come. Just make sure you're here. That's all we care about. No. I'll tell you why. I think attendance is the basic, bare minimum. If you are not attending with your brethren and worshiping God with your brethren, if you're not prioritizing that, if you're going to your paneled houses and building up your home and getting your money and you're putting everything first because you haven't made up your mind that you're going to be totally 100% committed to self-sacrifice for the sake of the Lord and for your brethren, you're not even doing the bare minimum of self-sacrifice. Not even. Consider your ways. The Lord wants you to be saved. He wants you to go to heaven. But the only way that you're going to get to heaven is if you learn the principle of self-sacrifice. You're not going to grow. You're not going to develop. You're not going to grow closer to God. You're going to go further away from God until you get it into your heart that what God wants you to do is prioritize Him and your brethren. And attendance is the bare minimum on that. There's lots of work to be done in this congregation. There are a lot of people in this congregation that need our help. There are a lot of people we can encourage and reach out to in this congregation. And if we can't even attend, we aren't doing any of the other stuff either. Guaranteed. Not doing any of it. Not doing any of it. We're not sacrificing ourselves at all for God or for His people. So there's one. And like I said, there's another 100 and so that you could make application to. And that's what God wants us to do, is consider our ways. He's not trying to hurt us. He's trying to help us. He's trying to bless us. He disciplines us for our good. And so you see, self-sacrifice is God's highest priority. And here's the third question. Why is it foolish to think we can find happiness and security by putting this world first? The answer is simple, because it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Why do we do that? Why do we think that putting our desires and our wants first is going to bring us happiness? Well, we're foolish when we think that. A lot of the Bible talks about that. The book of Ecclesiastes talks exceedingly about that. It's all vanity. It's all futility. It's all meaningless. It's all vain. All the things we like to focus in on. If we're not prioritizing the Lord and His people, if we're not prioritizing service and sacrifice of ourselves for others and for God, it's all vain. It's meaningless. It's useless. It all burns. It all goes away. And that's just the reality of life. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 24, you cannot serve God and mammon. You'll either love the one and hate the other, or vice versa. You can't walk that middle ground. Don't be fooled into thinking you can. You know, and that's why I say attendance is just the bare minimum. Sometimes people think as long as they attend, then they're faithful. That's not at all the case, is it? It's a good start, though. But it's not at all the case. It's all about sacrifice. It's a mindset. And you will do that. You will sacrifice your time for God. You will sacrifice your effort for God. You will sacrifice your money for God. Because you love God and you know that God wants good for you. It's foolish to think we can find happiness and security by putting this world first. That's what Paul's telling Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 to warn everybody about. Many people go the wrong direction and they think that this world provides their satisfaction and their happiness. And all it does is it produces snares and evil things in our lives. And so he finishes the letter by telling Timothy to instruct those who are rich in this present world not to trust in their riches, but to give and to share generously with others. That's where happiness is found. If we will believe God, then we will be blessed. If we will submit to God on that, I realize for some, and you know, I talked about this in the Bible class this morning, that was quite a change for me 35 years ago. Because I was that taker that I talked about last week. And it is quite a change. So don't think that you can't do it. God will provide you with the strength and the power to change your life and become a giver and become blessed and happy in this life. And that's what God wants for us. Let me close by just asking this question. Why do we willingly give a cheerful sacrifice of love and time and effort, etc.? Why do we do that? Why do we pray without ceasing? Because God said so. It's good for us to pray without ceasing, isn't it? That's where the blessings lie, isn't it? Why do we meditate on God's Word? Why do we spend time? Why do we sacrifice time and effort to meditate on God's Word? Well, because God said so. That's true. He's worthy. But there's blessings associated with that. God knows that. He's wanting to bless us. Why do we worship God with our brethren? Well, because God said not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's right. But there's blessings associated with that that God wants us to have. Why do we teach the Word to others? Why do we minister to our brethren? Because God says so. That's right. But God's wanting to bless us. And all of these things are part of God's instruction on how to love Him, yes, but also then to be blessed by Him. So consider your ways. Do you feel close to God? Do you feel like He's blessing you? Do you see that in your life? Well, if you don't so much, then maybe there's some things you need to meditate on and focus in on and obey God in so that He can bless you, so that He will bless you. And one last slide. Make no mistake about it. The Bible is very clear about the teaching here. What is the cost? It's everything. That's the problem. At least that's where the problem starts. It's everything. You know, sell it all, he told the rich young ruler, because he knew that was a problem for the rich young ruler. And take up your cross. In other words, be willing to die for me. Hate even your mother, your father, your brothers and your sisters, Jesus said. Yes, even your own life. And forsake all your possessions. Really? Yeah, really. Because that's where the blessings are. When you do that, that's where when you put God first and His will first, that's where all the blessings are. The foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. You want to go bury your father? No, come and follow me. You want to go say farewell to your people? No, don't look back. And all Jesus is trying to do there is teach people the priority. Teach us the priority. You have to have that as your priority. In 2 Corinthians 8, why were they so willing to give? They gave out of their poverty. Because they first gave themselves to the Lord, Paul explains. L.J. read Romans 12, 1 and 2. Present your body a living sacrifice. It's your reasonable service. Jesus sums it all up. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's what how God blesses us. When we die to self, sacrifice ourselves, and then He blesses us with a good life and eternal life to come. I appreciate your good attention this morning. Hopefully, this message sunk deep into our hearts this morning. It really can make a huge difference in how we view our lives and in the choices that we make. And I mean, it can be huge. You can go home today and you can change something that you're doing that's serving the flesh or serving your desires that you know is not in accordance with God's will. You can change it because of the power of God's Word in your heart. That's up to you, though. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. If you're here this morning and you know the gospel of Christ and you haven't been buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins and you want to do that this morning, we want to stand ready to help you and encourage you to do that. We're going to stand and sing a song. You can come forward during that song and we'll baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins if you understand the gospel of Jesus Christ and you're willing to give your life to Him. We invite you to come as we stand and sing.